Jesus said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord today, or that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I knew it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." We're seeing the theme, aren't we yet? Verse number 6, then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted on the one side and to the other, until the two of them could go over on dry land. And when they had crossed, Elijah said, "Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elijah said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." So just now, as we've begun this thing, they make three separate stops. Elijah says, "We're going here," or "I'm going here, rather. You just stay where you are, it's going to be fine." And Elisha does something really odd. Elisha knows, and you know that Elijah does too, and they don't know maybe all the details specifically, but they know the details. They know that Elijah will be taken. You know, does Elijah know that he's going to be taken without death? I'm not real clear on that one. And I would say that Elisha's definitely not clear on that one, because there's some concern about how things are going to go on. If you look at what's going on here, though, they keep to other places, and Elijah continues to follow. Let me say this. A lot of times, people will get really enamored by the teacher. They'll get enamored by the person, you know, the pastor, the teacher, whatever that is, and they follow them to the end. I mean, just really bizarre ends. And on the surface, you might look at that and say, well, Elijah is simply following Elijah because he's Elijah, because he's this, you know, great teacher and prophet and all these things, because he's been traveling with Elijah for some time. They're really close. And of course, Elisha, he already knows he's taking over after Elijah goes on. It's kind of a change of command that's coming up. And so you would say, well, maybe Elisha just really absolutely loves all of Elijah. I think that there's way more to it than that. But we're going to see that as the chapter progresses. But what you find is that Elisha wants to follow specifically God. And it's an interesting side of that. Had Elijah been a non-God-following person, I don't think Elisha would have followed him. I just don't think that's the case. I think the fact that Elijah was following God, was doing the things that God said to, was the only reason that Elisha would say, "Yeah, I'm following you." It's painful for people whenever that really good Bible teacher dies and goes to heaven, right? Well, Pastor Chuck died. A lot of people were just distraught over it. Here's Pastor Chuck. He's died. He's gone on. They're kind of upset. And if you look at, you know, where they've been, that wasn't their papa. That was the guy who brought them up. And that was the guy who led them. They said, "We need to keep everything in the mindset of what Chuck said to you, which is follow the Bible. Forget everything else. Just follow the Bible." And they weren't, like, trying to honor the name of Chuck, like, "Oh, praise Chuck." None of that stuff. They were simply saying, because he has pointed us to Jesus Christ, this is the kind of legacy we want to have for ourselves, and this is what we want to see. And so that's what they kept pushing to other people. Hey, see what's going on. It's good. Here's what's the thing. And now, as you have that, as that's going on, when he dies, people were happy that he had gone to heaven. Now, he was not taken away in a whirlwind like Elijah was. Yeah, he had succumbed to lung cancer. For a man who never smoked, that was kind of an interesting way to go. You would think that Satan had something to play on that one. Of course, he did live around Los Angeles, and that could also have another play on it as well, right? So, it was the city of Hayes. Of course, if you look at where
you'll see that as it kind of plays out in the book of Ruth. And here, I believe, is the same exact thing. You see that Elisha was not specifically trying to follow Elijah from the city of following Elijah. And what's more interesting is the three encounters that they had each time these prophets said to them something that God had to have shown them. See, God showed it to Elijah. God showed it to Elijah, and God confirmed it through these prophets. It wasn't just a big rumor that was going around. It wasn't something that was just kind of, you know, some say whatever kind of deal. There was a real legitimacy to the fact that these guys had heard from God. And when they came to talk to Elisha, they said, "Man, don't you understand what's happening here?" And Elisha, of course, did, but then he said something interesting. Just keep quiet. Let's let this play out. I think it was hard for Elisha to see Elijah go away. I think it was a challenge. But I think what was more than that was the fact that Elisha was dedicated to the service of God. And he did that, he was able to do that, because Elijah was also dedicated to the service of God. You will see that their ministries are quite different, but they both serve the same God. Elijah, it's so hard, man, they just shouldn't make mistakes that close. Elijah was kind of a doomsy kind of guy, right? And Elisha was quite the opposite of that. You know, Elijah did a lot of miracles. He calls fire down from heaven. You remember the whole prophets of Baal and all that. And so he has this great, I mean, just like thunderous kind of a ministry. And Elisha's more of the pleasant person who's keeping things and keeping it going. And it's a really interesting illustration, if you will, between the Old Testament, where it was law-driven, to the New Testament, where it's grace-driven. Not to say that the law is null and void. The law has its purpose, and the law's purpose does carry forward in the New Testament, but there was a transition from Malachi to Matthew as you went away from, you know, adhering to the law, keeping the commandments, and to grace, what we find in the New Testament. And so, again, a type of old and new, a type of, you know, kind of going and coming and so on. So you have Elijah about to depart. And you have Elisha who's been following him. And again, I say that he was following God more than he was following him. We'll see that in just moments from now. Verse number 9, I accidentally read into it, but listen to what it says. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." Elisha is looking specifically for the Spirit of God. Now, there's a Spirit that is on Elijah. You know that. And when we belong to Jesus Christ, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, you know, baptized by the Holy Spirit, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say, as children of God, as people who are serving Jesus Christ, there is a Holy Spirit presence on our lives. Elijah heard that. What's interesting to that is Elisha saw that the power that Elijah wielded was not the power of Elijah. The power that Elijah wielded was through the power of God. It was the Holy Spirit that did these actions, and Elijah was simply saying, you know, I'm kind of the instrument that God uses to get to that point. And Elisha saw that, and Elijah didn't say, "Just stay here with me." He said, "I want what you have. I want the connection to God that you have. I want a double portion of that. I want so much, you know, that so much Jesus in kind of a mindset." I know Jesus wasn't listening properly back there, but he wants so much Holy Spirit, so much God, that when you squeeze Elisha, you get God over you, right? He wanted to just be making things of God. He wanted that double portion, that double filling, to just really be the man of God. And notice that his focus was not on Elijah, and it wasn't on Elisha. His dedication was to God. As he asked this thing to Elijah, Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. Now, this kind of pulls an interesting place up. Elijah had been excusing Elisha at every turn, at every time up to this point. And what does Elijah say now? If you watch me as I'm being taken away. It's almost as though Elijah was being tested, not for the fact that God would know where Elijah was, but for the fact that Elijah knows that he was where he is. He had the dedication to serving God. He had the mindset and the mentality that says, not only will I serve God, but I will do it in the power of God. He wasn't concerned about himself. He wasn't concerned about, is my hair looking good? We'll find that to be humorous here shortly. I know you will. Some of us will find it more humorous than others. Verse number 11 says, and as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. What was the job of the chariot and of the horse? To separate them. Because Elisha was following Elijah. Just to keep close to, what did the old pastors say, or the old preacher, they say, I want to be under that spout when the glory comes out. That kind of a mindset. Well, so these horses and the chariots come between the two of them. Now Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So let me ask you guys this painfully obvious question. What took Elijah up into heaven? Tornado. That's the Texas way to put it. He was taken up by a whirlwind that took out Kansas. He was taken up by a whirlwind. Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind. There was a separation between him and Elisha by these chariots. And that Elisha was like, yeah, they're totally not crossing that. We're good. The chariots are cool. I understand. Hey, look, it's about to be showtime. I get it. We're cool. I'm staying back, And so Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. Now that's a sign of mourning. If you look at the Old Testament, the old times, and the people of Nineveh, as Jonah came in and he proclaimed God's judgment on them, what do? They repented. But after repentance, they tore their garments. They rent, as King James would say, their garments. And so he does this thing, an outward showing of sadness, of, just grief over his friend. But then he does something interesting. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. So what's interesting here, we remember that back when Elijah was doing his field work with his cows and all that, as he was plowing the land, Elijah said, here's my ephod. Here's the mantle. You carry the mantle now. And now as Elijah goes up, his cloak comes down. Which, that's an interesting thing. Those of us who have seen that wonderful fairy tale movie that sounds is semi there. Kirk Cameron, so Left Behind, thank you so much. I don't think that it plays out exactly like the movie laid out. I think that that's a little bit off. But if you'll remember in the movie, all these piles of clothes are laid behind, huh? Maybe there's a legitimacy to that. When Jesus calls you home, you may have on this wonderful sweatshirt with a neat saying on it. You may have on a nice button-up shirt or even nicer polo or whatever, right? But the clothes don't matter because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our stuff is a matter of heaven. Elijah is taken away. As he's taken away, he gets his heavenly garments and leaves the earthly ones behind. So there's a separation now from what was and what is. The two people in the Bible who did not die, who were taken away, one was Enoch, the other was Elijah. Now, we don't have a dress code for what happened with Enoch. We don't know that. But I just think what an interesting thing to see that as Elijah is taken away, his clothes are left behind. And Elijah is there to get him. Now, when he goes up, you'd obviously think that he would be in a glorified state. And so here is Elijah watching Elijah go on, same way as Jesus was after they had been on the cross, and he was walking around with the people post-mortem. I mean, saying that in a way, you understand that after he
Elisha went over. So you have the parting of the Red Sea. You have that back in the book of Exodus. You have the parting of the Jordan River that happened in the book of Joshua, right? I was like, man, I know this one. This is tricky, tricky. No, that was Joshua. Because I almost said Deuteronomy. I'll do that this morning. You have that in the book of Joshua, whereas they would go in there. And what's interesting is Elisha calls out to God with a cloak, and that's how he crosses over. But how did they do it when they crossed out the Jordan River when they were coming out of the book of Joshua? They carried the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests, you understand, the river is just rolling and flowing, right? And the priests were in there holding this Ark of the Covenant while in the water before it would dry up and cross over. It takes faith to do that. Something big happened here. When Elisha took that cloak and he beat the water with it, you say, Elijah, open my water away. He didn't do that. Elijah, make it dry ground so that I can cross it. He didn't do that. He cried out to God because Elisha understood where the power was. He understood what the power was from. It is from God. It wasn't from Elijah. Now, something that had to happen, happened right here. You know, Elijah had a great reputation. He was a man that they all recognized. They knew what kind of a prophet he was. But Elisha didn't have that. He was a sidekick for 10 years. He was just the guy that's with Elijah. So there has to be something for the others to say, there's something to this. Now, we're going to find out later that they're still trying to figure out what happened to Elijah. There's a bunch of unbelievers going on. You're not going to find that out for at least 10 more chapters. Maybe longer. Trying to remember exactly what plays out. But you'll find that there had to be some kind of a transition so that they believe in what this guy can do. And when a transition happened, he didn't say, look how wonderful I am. He said, God, do this thing. And God did this thing, didn't he? The water parted on the one side and the other side, and Elisha went over. And so he went back across on the dry ground. Now when the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And they said to him, behold, now there are with you servants, 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain to some valley. And he said, you shall not ascend. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. And they came back to him while he was staying in Jericho, and he said to them, I did not say to you, do not go. Did I not say to you, do not go? So these guys, of course, acting in disbelief, they knew that, you would think about it today. Let's put it in this perspective. You say, these guys have no faith, right? They're what worthless weirdos they are. What would happen to us today if somebody just put their hands up here? We're looking behind the curtain. We're looking on the other side of the wall. They think you're under the stage. You know, you're looking for an optical illusion and seeing what happened. Well, they saw Elijah go up. They went, well, that's different. So what did God do with them? People have a tendency. They're trying to put their own limitations on God. God was dedicated to this operation. And Elijah believed, obviously not Elijah believed, he's now in the presence of God. But they couldn't believe it. They didn't understand the power of God. And Elisha was lovingly correcting with them. But they were in kind of an argument. They were saying, no, that's not what happened. That's not how everything went down. And he said, no, this is exactly what has gone on. Verse 19 says, now the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful. He said,
Yes.
Below sea level. How do I know this? I've never been there. The area where they are is below sea level. What's over in that area?
Dead Sea, right?
Wow, that's an understatement, man. It's more than a lot of salt. I mean, it's just tons of salt, right? See, you're right. Lots of salt. Now, if you head down to Webster, right? And you head down to Clear Lake, right there, over by Kima and all that stuff, down by history, not by NASA. Is that a Kent Lake? Can you go on that lake and use this water for drinking water? No. Why? Because it's called something. It's something called brackish. Everybody knows brackish, right? Partly salt water. It's not pure. Yes, I mean, of course, the lake. You go into the lake to water, that's not pure water. You don't drink it right off. Who does you know? It's like terrifying that you're there, right? Just in case you didn't know, it's water. It's City Dallas water. Anyways, this brackish water that was down in this area, they can't drink from it because why? It's nasty. It's weird. There was a guy on the internet, and I saw this, and I thought, man, I've got to try this at some point in my life. He goes out to the ocean. And of course, he was not in Galveston. He was in a cleaner. He was in a cleaner portion of the ocean. But he goes out to the ocean, and he gathers a gallon of water in a gallon jug from the ocean. And then he puts it in a container to dry it out to evaporate all the water. When he got done with 1 gallon of water from the ocean, this isn't like Dead Sea level. This is a lot less than that. When he got done with his little thing, he scraped and powderized all the salt in it to stay in the basin. And he got let the water evaporate out. Those regular glass salt shakers, he had 1.5 of those worth of salt out of 1 gallon of water. You cannot drink this water. It's not good for you. It's bad. He just does. Now, again, I have to go by what people have said. And the things that they've written, and so I studied this. Trying to come back to Israel, hopefully one day, but I haven't yet been there. Did you know that there's a little place right there by Jericho? Tells us like a place of the ancestors buried and all that. The mountain city is there in Jericho, and there's a little water source right next to it. And you know what? It's perfectly fine to drink to this day. Interesting. I mean, the year 2003, this stuff is still legit, good to drink. And so when Elisha said, and he did something odd, he put salt into a bowl and puts it, this is what we're going to use to say, and because it's not by the power of Elisha, is it? It's by the power of God. You know, we hope for miracles. We hope for healings. We hope for things like this. I remember in Little Rock, North Little Rock, one was right off of McCain Boulevard. There was a little tiny church up there, and there was a sign that said healing service Thursday night. Yeah, I thought these guys were pretty dang clever. They don't know this guy's going to show up and start healing people. I was impressed. I almost went back just to see miracles happen. You and I, we can't control what we start. We cannot control God. We cannot make God do something just by our will. I can't say, well, God, you're going to do this for me. Because God's going to do what God's going to do. But if I am in the will of God, if I'm walking with God, if I'm in that process, and I say, God, could you do this? And it glorifies him. Guess what? Sin is options at that point. The faith that we're supposed to have is, it can be the small faith, but we need to have a big faith. The faith that says, I depend on God. But you also have to be serving God when you do that. Kind of a balance, kind of a challenge. And so you have Elisha, who has now corrected something. Well, I say he said he was simply the instrument God used to make the visible reference of what happened, which was the changing of that water. So they said the water is bad, your things are not good, and God heals that. How many thousands of years later are we? About 500 years, 10,000, somewhere around. Thanks for about 500 years. I got my time home, if I'm remembering correctly. No, it's more than that. It's a little more than that. 3,000 years at least. Water's still clear. decided. He wasn't healed to the point where your legs will hurt and you just have to go through a year of physical therapy where you learn how to walk, none of that stuff. The healing miracle was such that as soon as he was healed, he was 100% functional. Now, at some point, that person died off. We know that people have a limited lifespan. Physically speaking, I'm sorry, we know that. Scientifically speaking, because of these little things called telomeres in your body, they start off, you know, however long they are, I'm just going to use that one, however long they are, but they start off this long, and as they go down, you're less and less life left over. You're going down. And when they clone or jolt something, that the telomeres drop to halfway. When they clone it, they bring it at the halfway point, and so the brand new puppy or kitty or whatever like that is now cloned with old age problems. That's more of life's old than already. It's weird stuff, though. God has put it in limbo. He tells us about that. Genesis is you're going to be there 120 years. That's what you got. You can't figure it out in 120 years. You just can't do it. Of course, Methuselah will live 100 years of change. So we know that was not always like that. But God put in limits on him, right? So as long as this guy was healed, I'm sorry to jump on that rabbit trail. But when that guy was healed with his legs being lame and all that stuff, he could have jumped around, but then he still died. But I bet you that man walked on the champ until the day he died. Because when God heals, it stays. It's an effect that's there. So he, Elisha now heals the water. I say that. So the water has been healed to this day, according to the word that Elisha spoke. And of course, God's the one to the healing. Verse 23, he went up from there to Bethel. While he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of a city and jeered at him, saying, "Go up, you bald head." Would you like those kids? Don't laugh. "Go up, you bald head." And when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. And there he went over to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Let me say this. This is not a biblical lesson. Well, let's leave that. These people were trying to dwell in God. I'm not going to go there. And that's my view of the night. Elisha was doing the work of God. One of the things you see is he's dedicated to the work of God to the point that even in the face of people talking smack to him, he continued to serve God. Now he asked for God to take care of this. And I find it interesting that God sends two girl bearers, or she bearers, whatever like that, to take care of the situation. We all know that the female animals are the species, right? To protect them. Get in the way of Mother Hog because she will destroy you. Don't get in the way of Mother Bear, apparently. She will destroy you also. And so Elisha calls because of the taunting. He says, "God, you're going to take care of this." And it wasn't that God was just striking him down for any weird reason. These guys were against God. I say that because I don't think Elisha was coming through this thing. The train of Elisha is coming through. Make way, make way. He was, first and foremost, beyond all things, a servant of God. God will protect his people. Sometimes God has to protect his people from his people, but God will protect his people. And as Elisha was going along, and of course, the taunting happened. You know, we're going to have that going on. You and I, we need to have the dedication that Elisha had. We need to have that dedication that Elijah had. The one that says, "I'm going to follow specifically God and not specifically a person." It's always been my wish, my desire, that as people leave here, they say, "I love Jesus more." Not that I don't want people to care about me all you want to, but that doesn't need to be your main focus. When we get done here, all you think about is how awesome I am. Of course, you wouldn't thank them because of all that I think, right? But if you leave here thinking how great God is and how wonderful thou art, you missed it. I've been in this church, and I promise you, there's a pastor who's a superstar,
serve the same creator. We all serve the same king. And so let your ministry, whatever your ministry is to God, however you can serve God, be a positive effect for the kingdom of God, however that is, make sure that's unique to what God has called you to, not unique to what you think you ought to be, not unique to what somebody else tells you it should be, but you need to make it unique to what God has called you to do. The same way you see the difference between Elijah and Elisha, the same way that all that's laid out and made plain about it. So again, one of my favorite places to teach, and we all do now with definitive, definitely, we all know now.